Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Isaac Ware and Trinity Nguyen from UserGems, and we're going to talk about signal-based go-to-market. If you've logged into anything anywhere at any point in the past 12 months, you've probably heard about signals, but there's a lot of things people get wrong. So I brought two experts to help us get through it. So that said, Isaac, Trinity, thank you so much for joining me today.
Excited to be here.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. So if anyone has followed me for any length of time, I don't think anyone will be surprised by my absolute love of everything UserGems. I adore the company, the brand, the platform, the capabilities. One of the things I'm really excited about for UserGems is the transition from a lot of champion tracking into more of a signal platform. And you guys are starting to release a lot more signals and ways of actually activating different sales teams. But as we talk about this idea of signals and signal-based go-to-market, it very quickly felt like it became a buzzword. So when we think about the idea of a signal, what is that in the context of signal-based go-to-market?
So let's say the way that people seem to agree around what signals are. So these are like interesting moments that provide you reasons to reach out with specific accounts and buyers. So there are a couple of things that's interesting in terms of like a buying window, like, you know, B2B selling and buying. But moments, because it's very time-bound. So it's kind of like a buying window. If you get it too late, it becomes outdated and useless. And that's why sometimes you hear people say like, oh, I don't know about that signal. We tried it, it didn't work. I'm like, well, did you get it the right time? So that's why it has to be an interesting moment. There's a time-bound aspect.
I really love that definition and helping to frame it. Because often, you're right. I mean, we think about ABM programs and people do an account progression model. They're like, oh, these accounts have hit this like meaningful engagement or that's MQA stage, but they don't know how to regress accounts because their MQA at that time, they probably bought a different solution and they went with someone else. So it sounds like based on signals, it's also not just how do we appropriately reach out at the right times, but also recognizing that the time has passed. Like we don't need to keep reaching out the same message. This is no longer the right person with the right message at the right time. It's the right message at the wrong time. So that's what sounds like what a lot of signal-based go-to-market is focused on.
So dating, you know, could be a right person. They got to be the right time too.
I love it. When we start to think through signal identification, like are you guys recommending people actually start as they think through viable signals and interesting modes within their customer base? And Isaac, I'd love for you to kind of take the first crack at this.
Yeah, it's one of the things kind of what Trinity said is finding those. I mean, we always start with our bread and butter of champions, but again, something that not only on the marketing side with account-based marketing, but kind of account-based everything that will work well with your BDR team as well. So starting with those conversations with your BDRs of what are they doing to convert quicker? What are they doing to hit their pipeline goals and converting it over to kind of a shared approach around those? So for us, not only hitting that job change, but also one of the things we've been focused on is around kind of scoring how those play into a BDR role. So for when we're selecting accounts for ABM, we're taking a look at how many champions there are, yes, but also what's kind of the velocity there? Is there a ton in the last 6 months? How recent are they? What's the total number of active there? And it gives the BDRs a lot more ammo to go after it while also improving the quality of those accounts that you're selecting as well.
Yeah. So it really sounds
and it's
like
not just at the people. Oops, sorry. And that's just the people side, right? But also on the account side too. And people, when they think about signals, they tend to think about like, ooh, what are the new signals I can get out there? Like funding, hiring trend. And yes, I mean, they have value too. But I think, Mason, you're going to love this one. Your CRM already has a tons of signals that you're sitting on. It's like gold mine in there, just no one mining it. So like previous close lost is one of the hardest thing, signals that you already have, but you don't have to go out there and find or pay for. Previous churn accounts, BDR organizations tend to be kind of tiptoeing around. But if there's if you combine like previous closed loss, previous churn with any kind of additional signals that you can layer on top, now that becomes an interesting moment in time, and you have a good context of why you want to reach out and why you think now we should have a conversation.
No one else can see, but I actually have goosebumps, which is probably a larger problem with how much I love this space. But anyway, no, I could not agree more on the looking at closed loss. Like, when you think about closed loss, they already know that you exist. They already thought you were a viable solution at one point. They said no for some reason that you know. You already know who's in the buying committee. You can just re-engage them as something has changed. So, like, it could be they got a funding round. They have new executives. They have new people that work champions at other organizations that are now in their organization. Could be that your product has changed and now you have new reasons to re-engage. Like, there's tons of reasons with closed loss. And it sounds like, Isaac, what you were saying a little bit earlier is looking at how the BD teams are currently sourcing pipeline that are the undocumented processes. Because again, BDR's job is literally book meetings. Like, that's how they make their livelihood. They're probably pretty decent at it. And it's likely that there's a lot of things that are just practices that individuals are doing that are not shared across the organization. So it sounds like looking at some of the anecdata of like, how do you source your pipeline? And then hearing the heroic stories, turning those into repeatable processes that can then be activated across the entire organization.
And I think too, I like what you said around closed loss, because I think it applies to nearly every single signal, is breaking down that one signal into all the different aspects that'll influence it. So for like the champion job changes, the recency and everything like that. But like you said, with closed loss, look at the closed loss reasons. Are those matching up? Is there a trend across that? Can you build a program around a specific closed loss reason and kind of a changing how you approach individual signals and breaking them out into smaller pieces?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like large category signals that then get broken down into even further segmentations based on the ability to stack different signals together. And again, when we're talking about signals, these are, again, interesting moments. And the more interesting moments that compound on each other, the more personalized and nuanced that message can be to that individual at that account, which is where truly account-based marketing shines. So I'm curious for both of you, when you've been talking with a lot of people around signal-based go-to-market, where a lot of people right now incorrectly identifying signals and kind of looking at something and saying, oh, that's super interesting, but actually, it's a bit of a false positive.
I'll take one first. I think when people hear about signals, the first thing they think of is usually intent as a broad bucket. But I think when we define signals as interesting moments, signals is actually everything and intent is one piece of it, because intent is like indicating an account might be looking for, versus you have all the account level signals like funding, hiring, intent. You also have a people signals, job changes, new hires, a website visitors, anyone that can give you warm intros and social referrals. So like there's a lot of different type of signals. So I wouldn't just narrow it down to just intent. I think that's something that people tend to think signals are, but it's bigger than that.
And one of the interesting things I've seen too is even a step departed from that is every single call that I hop on where I'm talking with, hey, let's figure out how to build out your MVP for your ABM program. Give me an idea of what it's looked like in the past. Have you stood one up? Are you currently doing it? And almost every single time, it isn't ever based around a signal. They'll usually mention a platform or a intent platform as a whole and never drill down further than that. So they're almost looking at these platforms as the entire solution to a signal-based ABM platform, but if you ask them to identify what signals they were using from that platform, they wouldn't be able to tell you. They're just hoping that the platform as a whole will solve all their problems, which has been really interesting to see.
Yeah, the black box heat score. I was like, these accounts are hot. And you're like, why? I don't have any complaints about that. But again, it sounds like one of the things that Trinity just referenced is even further segmenting the various signals. So you'd reference like contact signals versus account signals, like in helping to identify what are the viable signals that we can actually look at, and then what are their place within the context of how we go to market. So what are the categories that you guys are thinking through as you think about different signals?
I think broadly, we just trying to keep things simple, right? Because I know we talk about like signals, this and that, but seriously, it's just like at the company level where you identify something's going on that's interesting about that account. And then at the people signal level, was like anything interesting going on with the specific prospect within that account. So just company versus people. So when you talk about like past engagement, like previous close loss and churn, some people call it your own signal, but actually it's at the accounts. The account evaluated you in the past, the account churned from you in the past. So we group that under the company just to keep things simple.
Yeah. Because champion tracking is a people signal that impacts the account. And there can be account signals that prime example, I worked at a company where we primarily sold to CROs, and the average CRO changed every 18 to 21 months. So like that CRO, when they left, may change, the new CRO may come in and change the entire culture for that account. So I'm curious for you guys, as you're thinking about time bounding these signals, like, do you see that contact signals are more time prone, or is it more account signals that are more time prone?
I would say it depends on the situation, but I think both of them are very time prone. The thing though with stacking is you're still bubbling up an account as a whole. I mean, you can't use one single contact signal to bubble up an account for ABM or anything like that. But what you can do is have some always on going on to get those time-based contact-based signals. And then when the account as a whole bubbles up, using those contact-based signals for that outreach. So I think there can be some immediacy with the contact stuff, but as soon as it gets bubbled up as an account you're targeting with ABM, you have some sort of delayed reaction there. One of the things we've been focusing on though is stacking those signals in the outreach of whether that's a contact referral and a job change and there's new hires and promotions, but stacking them in a way that makes it more and more relevant, even if you can't hit that timing perfectly on the contact level with the ABM program.
I think I would. So I do think signals only have value when it is timely, because otherwise it just becomes account fit. Right? Signals is like, hey, this is hot, strike while the iron's hot. So for example, a simple one, funding announcement, which we start seeing with some of the new AI companies. So people are like, well, how timely is it? Well, I'm going to tell you, it is insanely timely, because the moment that the company closed a funding round, immediately they have to already have the plan how to spend it. So they are already in the buying window. And it could be like, you know, 2-3 months. But by the time that you know that they announced their funding round, it's never immediate, because let me walk you through like the funding process. Like you close it with the investor, and then you've got an investor going to connect you to someone at TechCrunch to interview you. And then they're going to line things up so that they get published. So by the time like you, me, and anyone who like capture signals know when it's public information, it could be 1 month or 3 months after the funding round's already closed. So if you wait any longer to capture that signal and act on that signal, you're probably out of the buying window already. So accounts of people, signals have to be something timely so that you can strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. So Isaac, one of the things you talked through just now is the idea of stacking signals. And again, we referenced that a little bit already with closed loss, and how you can further segment by viable signals. I'm just curious though, as you think about operationalizing this, because again, from our perspective as marketers, we see signals, we trigger workflows and programs, and we pass that to the BD team. It gets really complicated though when you start actually stacking these signals together. So I'm curious, like, as you think about actually operationalizing that in such a way that it's easily actioned for your BD teams, like, any thoughts or advice on that front?
I think we've been very fortunate on our side, because our tool kind of handles a lot of that stacking for us. In terms of actually actioning stacking on manually or anything like that, I don't even have that, because how UserGems has approached stacking on our side with automation. Trinity might have some experience with the stacking that I'd never have been able to touch.
Stacking, I think when you stack two signals, it's doable. So you can create a sequence in outreach or sales loft for your BDRs and say previous close lost with new champion just joined. So when the BD see that task popping up, they know exactly what to write in there, all the contacts. They don't have to go like, you know, mine in the CRM. But once you build all that, so let's call it a crawl, when you want to accelerate and make it more sophisticated, like for example, that account, now also we have a current customer at a different account that used to work there, so they can do a warm intro. Then you're stacking a third one in there. And then you just picked up that somebody in that account just visited your website. Now that's a fourth signal. Now that's too many variation in sequences that you have to build. So this is where, when you get to this stage, I think having a tool where it can kind of like aggregate, digest all of this data for you, give it a score, bubble up the account and prospect up for you. So you don't have to do this kind of like, you know, triangulating all the data. So that's step one. And second, how can it get all that data points and put into a messaging or like a sequence step? So your rep, when they open it, is like, hey, John, you're going to reach out to these people today at this account because here's the context and here's the signal. So that's the only way that you can do stacking signals well once you get past two signals.
It sounds like, again, looking at your commonly stackable signals like close loss plus champion tracking or website visits plus champion tracking, like look at those common ones. But then also just going through trainings with your BD team to say, hey, here's how you do further account research based on the technologies that we have available. So you can actually see, you may be able to even further nuance it, but like, here's your starting point template of the most relevant and most common signals. And now here's how you further nuance it based on the account research that you're doing, whether that be through third parties and online research or just doing further research in the CRM.
And yeah. I think one of the things there too, that's really important, especially with marketing, working with a BDR team, is theming things and grouping things so they can focus their attention on it. So yep. Try to pick two at a time or a certain stack at a time. I think one is so they can focus their efforts on it, otherwise it won't get done. But then two, when they go into their meetings, they can talk about how individuals are approaching this stack and they kind of have that joined knowledge for how they're going to approach it. And it becomes a lot more effective than if you're just throwing, here's all of these stacked signals, go out and get them. I think it's important.
Just starting with one, just seeing if the process works and just making sure people actually adopt it. And then from my experience, at least when you get the first one right, generally they're like, this was freaking awesome. How do we do more of this? And you're like, oh, well, here's a bunch of others that we can do together. And like, let's go. So like, that's been my experience. I'm sure that's been similar for you guys. Of just like, once you nail the first one, people are generally pretty bought in.
Yeah. You got to theme it. Exactly what Isaac said. You got to theme it and like, hey, this quarter, are we going to go after all the previous close loss? Okay. And then you got some like, BDRs getting some wins. Then now the entire team just like, yes, let's go hunt for close loss. So I think like just people in general are like humans' mind. We can only handle like 3-4 themes at a time because you talk about hundreds of accounts and thousands of prospects. You can't just switch context. So that's how you can activate the BDRs and get them to buy into the program.
Yeah. And that's, I had two calls already today where we discussed this, where the company had stood up an ABM program in the past. It didn't work. And then kind of the BDRs are burnt on it basically. And that's one of the biggest things for signal-based ABM programs is when you're building out an MVP for an ABM program, if you can build it based on signals, one, your BDRs are going to love you because you're providing accounts that are showing certain signals. You're showing a reason for them to reach out is the biggest thing. And then two, for leadership buy-in, if you're standing up an ABM program, you're launching to 20 cold accounts, no reason to reach out, they're not going to convert and you're not going to get the leadership buy-in to get the resources to build out that program. If you're able to start with 20 accounts that have stacked signals, previous champions and visitors, all that good stuff, you're going to get buy-in from your sales team and leadership team, which means you're going to be able to build out a larger program with more resources in the future.
Couldn't agree more. Well, it's just how you do it. Like, start small, prove it out, reinvest the easy way, but you get overcomplicated.
But like a lot of marketers, like when we set up ABM, like even they start small, we think about the marketing side, the programmatic side a lot, because it's the fun part for us marketers. But for BDRs to actually action, they need the list of people. You're giving them a list of sexy logos and like, I can do that myself. So I would say, like, when you start small, go all the way as far as you can, the last mile, give them the list of the people, the reason why you pick those people. I think that will get you the quick wins a lot sooner.
Yes. I mean,
I agree more.
Chris, and it's like, then why do I need BDR? My husband and me do the prospect.
I mean, you guys just run the show from here. No, but I mean, as we start to wrap up, I'm just curious on a couple other things of, you know, hurdles. We're actually thinking through and implementing a signal-based approach. Like, as you started to talk with a lot of people about this idea, where do people typically get hung up?
I think signal-based, especially when you're trying to skim through data, I think a lot of marketers get hung up on how intimidating it is to approach finding signals within your existing data. As soon as that pops up, then you have the idea, oh, well, now I'm going to have to go to RevOps. Like, I hope RevOps has bandwidth to help me out with this possibly. And I don't know if I know how to do this on my own. Is the data clean? Like, all of that starts popping up. I think your approach to kind of auditing your current data and your current content and everything like that is a good way of like making it more palatable. I think that was the biggest thing for me, because especially if you're looking at somebody, a lot of these ABM programs are being stood up by somebody that's new to the company and try to make waves. You don't know what is in your Salesforce environment and you don't know how to approach it at all. So I think that's one of the main things that concerns marketers at first.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know each other, so I feel like we kind of just repeating ourselves, but the approach of Scrappy ABM makes the most sense, to be honest. Well, I mean, the name explains it. When you start out, like, don't think about like, you know, moonshot, what's going to happen? You know, I'm going to get like 3 more promotions when this thing's like amazing. We're going to change the mindset of the company, and the company is going to be like, all like, you know, revenue alignment and account base only. No, don't think about that at all. Look into your data. You actually have, yes, everyone says that CRM is a dumpster fire. It's not just you, it's everybody. It's okay. There are tools to clean and, you know, fix it. But just look into your existing data, the close loss, the churn, all of those. That will give you enough to get started. And it's a play that your BDRs are very familiar with, like Revive Close Loss. So you already get the buy-in. It's not like you're buying this new sexy marketing tool that they're like, what the heck is this? So you already like have a leg up there. So we'll start with the Scrappy ABM's approach. Just start out with your own data. No, really. It really does that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're making me blush. Second of all, the approach of actually not launching an ABM program or a signal-based program and actually just going to your BD team saying like, how do you source pipeline right now? Could we help you build a better process around it and then spread that across the team is the easiest way to get by. And it's so like, oh yeah, that's great. Like you're just meeting them where they are today, showing them a better way forward and then saying, hey, we could do more stuff like this if that's helpful. And actually not even 9 times out of 10, every time we've done it that way, the BD team is like, yes, I would like more support. No one's upset about that. So for everybody else, real quick, Isaac and Trinity have referenced like the Scrappy ABM approach a couple of times. Usergems was kind enough to partner with Scrappy ABM actually to put together a 2.5-hour masterclass that walked through exactly how to build a signal-based playbook that is the starting point for building an ABM program. So if actually you go to usergems.com under the resources tab, there's this thing called the Scrappy ABM masterclass. It's 2.5 hours. It is completely free. We want you to go and enjoy it. And I mean this sincerely. We tried to give everything away. So like, if there's things that you don't find that you're looking for, we actually plan for that too. We're going to start hosting quarterly webinars to answer any questions that pop up. So again, if you're looking for practical, highly tactical ways to actually build an ABM program, that is the goal. And we're really excited to get this resource in your hands. So go check that out. Additionally, there's a couple other masterclasses from Usergems that Isaac's put together that are highly tactical on how to build out some ABM programs as well. So they've got another tab in there that's called the ABM Masterclasses that'll give you some really bite-sized approaches to building out some programs. So that said, Trinity, Isaac, any other closing thoughts for building out a signal-based go-to-market approach?
No, nothing from my side. I think just, again, start simple, start small, start with conversations and go from there. I think people get intimidated by how big they can become, the program ABM programs can become. So just focusing on what's happening right now. Start with the small things.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, we've got a ton of other episodes that dig into how you can build programs using your existing tech stack. Additionally, if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask, we host a weekly live stream on LinkedIn called the ABM AMA, where you can join and get your questions answered directly by experts. And lastly, if you're looking for practical templates, guides, frameworks, and playbooks, check out scrappyabm.com, where we're building a library of resources that help ABMers just like you get their programs off the ground. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.